This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it's good to have you listening on a Tuesday. Lots of stuff going on around the NFL, certainly with our Falcons, as Leonard Floyd was introduced to the press today. He came on Andy and Randy, full interviews online at Odyssey.com, and we'll tell you more about our thoughts there. Mike, as we get into, you know, what's going on around the league, everybody's gearing up for the draft. Yesterday was a big pro day. We'll continue to count them down as, you know, right. Shador's going to have his, and Cam Ward had his yesterday. He is the potential number one overall pick. Titans have the first pick in this year's draft. And listen, they were impressed with Ward. Why wouldn't they say anything else, Mike? They're right. Trying to create some leverage for other teams to go, wow, they really like him, huh? Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to go move and try to go get him. Of course they're going to say they like him. They're going to say they like him a whole lot because if you're a team that wants a quarterback and you want to go make a deal with the Titans, they said they're open for business. But it's going to cost you a lot to make a deal. I just don't know, Mike, if this solidifies – him being the number one pick, as he thought he said yesterday, or at least, you know, he said that he was, that was his message for the Titans. And I want to play that again, Orn, for our listeners, because afterwards he was talking to my buddy Brian Baldinger about this, and he said, you know, I think I just solidified me being the number one pick.
Uh-huh.
Do you think he's the number one pick in this year's draft?
It really comes down to, you know, how their scouts and how Tennessee looks at it. He said some good things about the coach, talked about when he was an assistant at Cincinnati, how he helped Joe Burrow. And I mean, I know that I'm not saying that, you know, it's not like, I'm not saying that you got a pea shooter when it comes to Shador Sanders on his arm, but I just think Cam Ward has a stronger arm.
Okay.
You know, but I think I watched a lot of Cam Ward because I was always rooting for Miami to lose, and he would always dig a big hole, or not him, you know, generally the team, or they'd be coming out flat defensively, and then he would just turn it on and did some real Superman stuff for Miami. Mm. You know, and I mean, the guy was really clutch. I mean, I was jealous because Florida State got outbid for him by Miami, and the guy was really worth it. He was worth every penny Miami paid him. So Shador Sanders, conversely, had to run for his life because he had no offensive line. I do think that the ball comes out quicker with Ward, and I think Sanders, you're going to have to coach him up to get the ball out faster.
I think Shador felt like he had to make plays, and he held on to it too long. I agree. I think he is, on my board, the top quarterback. We don't know if he'll be taking one or not. Mm. He won't end up past the top five, for sure, in my opinion, Mike, when you start talking about how this thing's going to shake out. Right. But the idea that Shador has somehow taken a hit after the season is over and everybody says he's not that good or he's not as good as advertised, I think it's hot air. As far as Cam Ward, this is what he said his message was for the Titans after they watched him yesterday.
I say not only showing them, but every other team just throwing on rhythm, whether it's three steps on rhythm, five steps on rhythm for under in the gun, heavy play action, you know, gun five with movement outside the pocket, just showing them all you know, under center stuff that I didn't get to show as much during the season, let them know that I'm capable of it. Because at the end of the day, the NFL is not playing under center all the time. They're in the gun, but you got to be able to do it. And so that was the main focus for me. And then other than that, it was just making it all about my receivers, trying to throw them catchable balls, make sure not have balls hit the ground. We had a couple. But at the end of the day, you ain't going to be perfect. You always got stuff to get better at.
Look, the pro day is great. It is tailored for you to be successful.
Right. You're talking to your guys in a controlled environment.
You should look really good. Zach Wilson looked really good a few years ago.
Oh, God, yes.
And the Jets took him high in the draft. It was a mistake. And, Mike, my point is the pro day is one element of the makeup of a player. Just like you can't go to the combine and go, that guy's a beast and we're going to draft him. There's so many other things that make up whether or not a player is going to be successful in the NFL. So I'm not overzealous when it gets to these pro days. I like the fact that you get a chance to, you know, exploit your arm and all the things that make you a great quarterback. But I also know it's built to have you look really good.
Well, that's it. I mean, part of the reason these guys will not throw at the combine is you're throwing to a bunch of wide receivers you've never met before, and you don't know if how they, you know, where they were going to break and how they anticipate your throw. Whereas, you know, he's only there a year at Miami, but he's got a bunch of receivers in Miami that caught practice balls from him all year. And so you trust them better. But I'm with you. I get that the pro day has become a little overvalued in the minds of maybe the fans. The scouts know what the guy is. They've got the game. Whatever happened to freaking game tape? That drives me crazy.
Correct.
Watch the game tape. Who pooped the bed? Who had the ability to put a team on his back? To me, that's Cam Ward. I think that Shedeur Sanders did the same thing in different situations. I think sometimes, you know, there was some glaring weaknesses on that offensive line more so than you saw at Miami, which maybe that. But again, the pros will know that. They'll know that you don't like Shedeur Sanders because you don't like his dad. You don't like Shedeur Sanders. You don't like the swag, right? And to me, you want a quarterback, the toughest position in the NFL. I want a guy who comes in with some confidence. And when Baker Mayfield had swag, that was fine. But what's wrong with this kid's swag, right?
I agree. 404-726-0929. Browns hold the number two pick. They were there also at the pro day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, who's not going to be? Anybody that has one of those top picks who potentially may move to go get some of these guys, depending on where they land. But, you know, Joe Shane was there from the Giants. Of course he's going to be there. Like, this is no surprise that these teams are represented at his pro day. But I just – and I'm not poo-pooing Cam Ward. I think he's a really talented player. I think he may be the best quarterback. For me, I've got Shedeur on my – because, again, when you have the highest completion percentage, Mike, and the worst offensive line in college football, and you were sacked triple the amount of times that this dude was – You're showing me a lot more as a player with the wherewithal and the character that you have. That's what Shedeur had to endure. Cam had a little bit easier. And here's the other thing. When you start talking about, you know, it's not about them, their teams going to the playoffs. Just go look at their numbers. Go look at how they played in certain situations, to Mike's point, and then you decide. I'm not going to decide whether I'm drafting him based on his pro day. And that's the thing that I want to get across. And even if Shedeur had a great pro day, I wouldn't be telling you that just based on that. I think the body of work to me is more important than you throwing to your guys for 30 minutes and making yourself look really good.
I mean, it's not like neither one of these guys would be considered a dual threat. You know, Cam Ward rushed for 200 yards for Miami when he had to. We'd pick like kind of like how, you know, we've seen quarterbacks like what we get with Michael Penix Jr. Pick him up when he needs to, yep. You know, move the chains. But Shedeur Sanders was negative 50 yards rushing, which goes back to sometimes he would make a bad decision worse by doubling back.
Sacked.
And taking some sacks. So, again, but that's fixable. I think it's fixable. I mean, guys, there's been a lot of, you know, quarterbacks that had some funky habits that were able to get worked through. I mean, you know, Brett Favre made terrible decisions. That's part of the reason. Some of those decisions were involving nightlife and Buckhead, but part of the reason the Falcons, obviously one of the greatest stupid moves in history, moved on from because they just thought he was too much of a gunslinger, you know, just too much of a risk taker.
This is what's interesting. Like, so yesterday they were saying, hey, he completed 25 straight completions. Well, I would hope so. There's no DBs out there.
But what media dork is getting excited about that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is the stuff that you have to deal with. And Big O just said, by the way, the Titans have now they want a private workout with Cam Ward. So they're going to schedule a private workout with
him.
Are
you going to dim the lights and maybe set the mood?
But Mike,
I'm your private dancer.
Yeah. Dancer for money. They also said that he completed 64-62 passes to receivers running routes. Why wouldn't he?
I mean, you're throwing against air to guys you played with all year. That, I mean, that's why some of these guys, This is the stuff that, like, remember Zach Wilson? He threw a ball 70 yards. How many times is he going to have a chance to do that in the NFL?
He didn't. He's never had a chance to
do
it. All right, man. Your thoughts are welcome as we talk about this. As far as the Falcons, let's talk about Leonard Floyd. Where are you at, Mike? He introduced himself today. He says, I want to be the smoking gun, talking about the pass rush.
Right.
He described that as saying going out and proving that he has to show it, but obviously he's discussing third down. Third and longs, he wants to be a difference maker, and he certainly wants to get after the quarterback.
I mean, he's an OG, man. We played the interview. It's online at odyssey.com. You hear what Andy Rande got out of him. I mean, he's a dude that has been a solid piece everywhere he's been in the NFL. As we mentioned, Raheem Morris knows what he can get out of him. And as we said, yes, maybe as you brought this up, you know, initially when we first made the signing, a little bit of hesitation because the Judon thing just blew up in our face. But I think this guy is just a steady dude, and he's 32. He's actually older than Judon, but I think you look at the Calais Campbell and feel maybe he could be some of that. Give us some of that.
Yeah. So let me ask you this.
We had no expectations for him either.
No. But this is the kind of stuff that we talk about when the season rolls around and you go, who's responsible for signing him? Ryan Pace was with the Bears when they drafted him, and he played for Raheem.
It's a general manager who took a former first-round pick of his and brings him back. Scott Pioli did the same thing.
Okay.
So when he was here. He's a former Kansas City Chief number one picks and brought them back here. That's what guys do.
Okay. So do you think those guys suggested to our general manager that we take a chance on?
I think they certainly had some input.
I agree. And if it works, are you going to give Terry credit? If it doesn't work, are we killing Terry? Well, because that's the thing that happens in these situations, Mike. This wasn't Terry randomly on the phone going, yeah, let's go sign Leonard Floyd. This was, again, what's the word they use? What's the word that we always get tired of hearing up there? Collaboration?
Yeah, collaboration.
This was a collaboration. And when it happens this way, this is the kind of stuff that they're talking about. I'm not defending it. What I'm telling you is if Floyd works, right, then you're going to go, man, that's a hell of a pickup. If it doesn't, Terry screwed up when Terry was being advised, hey, by guys who know him, to go get him.
Well, remember, part of the reason Terry got the job, I mean, the way it was explained to us at the time was he's a guy who's going to find diamonds in the rough, and for a team that is just so jammed up with the cap hits like we were because of, you know, paying off Julio and Matt's, you know, all that nonsense of kicking the can down the road, that's what made him an attractive general manager. He's always been really good at finding value in free agency. So, like I said, Bud Dupree and Calais Campbell, those were hits. That worked. You know, we had a bunch of guys in some real no-name defense, man.
They did.
That he had to try to, you know, augment as best he could. So I'm okay with it. I mean, to me, I'm just more concerned about how he's neglected defense for flashy offensive pieces and, you know, and also being a little too cute with some of his defensive picks like, you know, Troy Anderson. So that's where my beef, whenever I get into that, my rants about our problems we've had and not just getting the quality we need with high draft picks, that's where my beef is more with Terry than free agency.
I think we are going to go into this offseason and certainly into the season with big question marks about a class that we still don't know how good they are.
Right.
And that's last year's class.
I'm talking
about on the defense.
You don't know what Trice is. We think we know what a row is. But you're right. Dorless, we've got to wait and see. And I just mentioned Anderson. He's played 9 games the last 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I got to imagine that they believe in they got guys here. We just got to be able to keep these guys healthy and get them on the field.
It's going to be interesting. I just, and by the way, if they win, who cares who gets the credit?
Right.
But if they don't, we know that you'll be quick, not you, I'm talking about fans, will be quick to say our general manager screwed this up again. And all I'm telling you is you've got 2 other guys in the building that one helped draft him and the other guy coached him. They probably had a lot of input into going to get Leonard Floyd. And let's hope it works.
Right. Now, like, I don't begrudge him going after Matthew. We were all excited about Matthew Judon.
Of course, we needed it.
It was bad. It just didn't work. It's on him. That is on the player who was conspicuous with his red sleeve. So you knew exactly what he was or was not doing every week.
Yeah, that was a bad idea by him.
Right.
Should have just went sleeveless. Hey, man, coming up, we got to talk some Braves, and we will. But when we come back, the strong arm story of the day. Stay right there. You know, we were talking about Cam Ward, right? I want to mention this before we move on with our strong arm story of the day. But Big O sent this to us, and he said one scout unnamed. And by the way, we know how we feel about that, right?
Say it with your chest. Yeah, put your name on it.
Put your name on it. One scout talking about Cam Ward and his odds of becoming the number one overall pick just skyrocketed after his pro day. Mm. One scout. He's a little doughy.
He's soft, soft and chewy. I looked at Ward. I looked at him as pro day, 20% nougat. Soft and doughy.
He's a little doughy.
A little doughy. Well, I mean, it's funny because, you know, J.J. McCarthy, did you say J.J. McCarthy's got to drop some LBs up in Minnesota, right?
Yes, that's true.
Is he doughy as well?
I don't know. I mean, it is a great word. I mean, it's the word like without saying the word, right?
All of a sudden, I'm thinking like Full Metal Jacket. Private Pile, you are a disgusting fat body. Are jelly donuts allowed?
Sir, no, sir.
Why not, Pile? Because I've got to wait. You're a fat body, Pile.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
The late, great Arlie Army. Rest his soul. Yeah, man.
Great role. Great role. Man. But no, I wanted to share that because that's funny.
Chris, by the way, just said in my ear, it's a good point. Jameis was a tad doughy.
He was.
You know,
that's
but
true.
He was effective. You know, made it work.
By the way, you disappointed he signed up there?
Yeah, I wanted Jameis here just for the pure comedic value for us should we ever get him down here. Don't know what that means for the Giants. A lot of folks, some guys disagree with us that they can still go get Kirk Cousins and Jameis as the backup. I don't know. I think they're going to get Shedeur Sanders.
I do too. I think the Giants, that's the probably best spot for him to potentially land. Right. Hey, man, let's talk about our Hawks, Mike. We had a great conversation with Lauren Williams. They're back in action tonight, guys, at Houston. And I asked you, because this is my first day back since, you know, being gone. I said, what's going on with the Hawks, man? What's the deal? They got a nice little win streak going. And then Lauren Williams came on and said, well, you know what? Niang's hitting his shots.
Right.
And Trey's playing at a really high level right now, and this is the reason why they've gone on this nice win streak. Guys, last 10 games, Hawks are 7-3 in their last 10, and tonight they play a really good Houston team on the road, and then you get Miami, and then you go to Milwaukee, which, again, you know, you got to show up in the Eastern Conference. You're trying to hold on to that seventh spot.
Yeah, man, we were talking about could we see Zachary Risache win the Rookie of the Year? Stephon Castle with the Spurs has got a little slightly better stats. But as you said, I mean, what's the big moments? This guy's gone for 30. This guy went for 21 the other night. He's had big moments. He's had threes, and he's been blocking shots, and he's had steals. I mean, he's looked good. Now, we look back at it because at the time, nobody's talking about the Wizards for good reason because they're terrible. But Alex Sarr, no longer Alexander, he's Alex. But Alex Sarr is actually having a decent year, 12-6 as a seven-footer on a bad team.
Right, on a bad team.
So, I mean, you know, as we always say, because of ESPN, you guys have been brainwashed and thinking, Hawks, winner, Wizards, loser. I mean, but they could both be good players. But, I mean, you and I did debate for months the big or the guy that's the power forward with a little more versatility.
Yeah, I think Risache is the more versatile player, Mike. You've seen him grab the ball, take it, you know, coast to coast, use his left hand. I'll be honest, watched enough of Sarr to compare his game.
Right.
But we've watched enough of Risache to know he's just now starting to reach into his tool bag and pull out some of this stuff that he's got that we didn't know he had. And that gets me excited for the future. The thing about Gilmore with the Spurs is they lose Wimby, and I said, did he elevate the team? Did the Spurs at any point, once you lost Wimby, go, man, Gilmore's carrying us.
Right.
He's the guy. We got a shot to do something. No, everybody felt like once Wimby went down, they were going to tank.
Right.
And try to get another first overall pick. And that's kind of where they are. Right now, they're in the lottery, and that's where I think they'll finish. But, you know, I feel like Risache has helped elevate the Hawks to this spot where they're at. And, Mike, listen, 7's better than 8, 9, or 10.
And I know that, as we said, we're not, like, I don't work for the Hawks, guys. I pay for my tickets when I go. I'm just telling you, it would be kind of cool as a Hawks fan to see we always talk about a trajectory. Finish over 500. Yeah, yeah. Right now, they're one game under 500. They're just about, right now, they're and I've been watching this all year. I know you laugh at me for this, but they're PPG versus their opponent's PPG. Well, right now, we're just about under 1.7. In other words, the other guys are scoring just a little bit more than us. If we can get to the point where we're scoring more than the opponents, finish above 500 without Jalen Johnson, that's a step in the right direction.
No, it's great. And look, I hope they can go and handle business. If you do something on this road trip, you beat Houston tonight. Houston's a really good team. Believe it or not, I know people don't think about this, but Houston's a second team in the West right now.
Look, Udoka's a great. I'll tell you this. I still watch the Celtics, and I still think that coach is a nitwit, Joe Mazzulla. I still don't think that guy has an idea what he. I know I told you the other day I was watching that game. Who was it when it went in there? Oh yeah, it was the OKC.
Yeah,
OKC went in there, and they put all these big like Frankenstein looking guys in there. Mazzulla's like, I don't know what to do.
Didn't know what.
But Udoka to me, if he was still with Boston, I don't think they would have lost that finals.
I agree. I agree.
They might have three.
But the Rockets are 13.5 games behind OKC. That's how dominant OKC has been this year. They're not catching them. They're going to win the West. They've already clinched a playoff spot. They will have home court advantage throughout. But Houston's a really good team. The problem is nobody believes that they can beat the Nuggets or the Lakers or, Mike, even Golden State in a seven-game series. Mm. And so we're going to see. But that's a team that's a 46-win team right now playing us tonight. So that's why this is a big test. And then you go to Miami. As we said, we know they've fallen off, but they're still in the play-in as we speak at 10. And then
but you got to beat those guys, too. There's no monkeying around with Miami.
No, man. Listen, they lost Butler, and I think he's playing there. Is it tonight, Chris, or tomorrow? And Butler, and they're talking about playing some kind of video. And Butler's like, I don't care about that.
Yeah, it is. Today's the 25th. It's tonight. Yeah. At 7. It's on TNT, by the way. So if you want to catch that. And now let's have a video tribute for the man who said, F Pat Riley.
Exactly. He doesn't care. So this is a big road trip before they come back home. But you've got some winnable games, guys, is what I'm talking about. Listen, we know Dallas is struggling. I think AD just came back. You get those guys next week. Portland, that should be a dub, right? So you're talking about, Mike, over the next 5 or 6 games, you should win 4 of 6.
Right.
That's if you're playing like you are right now, if you're the Hawks. What does it mean for the playoffs, guys? We don't know. Mike's right. Let's get to 500 and then hopefully make a run. And by the way, being in the 7th spot in the play-in, and I know we haven't really talked a lot about this, but your path towards, you know, all you got to do is win a game. You don't have to go right. And win 2 games to try to get into that last spot.
It's a lot easier. And we know that Trey can take – we've seen him do it. Trey can take over one of those games. Problem now is, as I was insulting Joe Mazzulla's coaching ability, they won 6 in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you said, they're gaining on Cleveland. And now can Cleveland – that's the question. Can Cleveland handle their water where, you know, at times you look like, uh-oh. I mean, they played the Clippers, and I mean, the claw was just all over them, and that's the kind of atmosphere you're going to get in the playoffs in the half court.
All right. You guys can fill us in and tell us what you think. I think right now it's you know, they're playing good basketball, and what that means with what we have, I think Lauren, and she said this in the interview, Mike, she's right. Caris LeVert, we got to resign.
Well, this is the thing. The guys in your cars and ladies, you expect, and you look at the free agent names, there's all the usual suspects, okay? Imagine if we gotten Paul George, what a freaking disaster that we'd be in the lottery for the next decade. Think about this.
Yeah, because that was a four-year deal?
But do you trust this management team, and maybe by what they did with Terrence Mann and Caris LeVert, can you do more of that? With the same things we just said last segment about Terry Fontenot, finding the diamonds in the rough.
The fit.
Can you find the worker bees to augment what we have with Jalen Johnson, what we believe we have with Zachary Reese, we know we have with Dyson Daniels, and of course Trey is the man. But can you find, and maybe it won't be sexy, but go get those guys that fill out a little more better in the front court, right? Opposite of Kongu. You know, we always debate Kongu and where is he, what isn't he? A little more help on the wing, you know? But can they do that? Because this is the first year they're going to have some coin to spend in a while.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Cleveland, Mike, Darius Garland, Max Strus, Evan Mobley. Any of these guys Hall of Famers?
No.
Perennial first team All-NBA guys?
Right.
No. Jared Allen? No. Good, but right. They fit together. And then they went and made the trade. Again, DeAndre Hunter, we give him credit. You know, he's fit in. He's playing well for him. But they already had a bunch of guys that did what DeAndre Hunter did and coming off the bench. And, Mike, so they just added to that, and they added some size and some defense.
Right.
We're going to see. But to your point, I'm just saying, if I gave you that roster, there's no superstar on that outside of Donovan Mitchell.
No. And Oklahoma City, you said it. It's all drafted guys. It's all drafted roster.
Yeah. So I just feel like that's the way the Hawks are going to approach this. And I think it might be the right way instead of figuring out, oh, what's going to be our big three?
No, but I will say this. I mean, because we were doing the show, I think we were at Buffalo's up in Decatur. And that day when the trade deadline came down, I was like, what?
Yes.
I'm like, Terrence Mann, like the old Florida State point guard? And I was like, Caris, remember singing like Casanova, Gerald LeVert?
Yes.
LeVert's been great. Niang has been a real veteran and a solid piece. And more importantly, and we talked about this with Lauren, Trey likes playing with these guys. Yeah, there was probably a disconnect with DeJounte of whatever reason. It's just, he trusts these guys, but it's still his team. You know what I mean? And so he's in a perfect headspace, I guess, for lack of a better word, with the squad.
Yeah, well, look, he doesn't have to defer. And I think that was part of the problem. You know, I got to feel like, or at least he felt like, I have to defer when he was on the court with DJ. He doesn't have to feel that way now. And by the way, assisting guys and you're leading the league in assists is not a bad thing. That's not like, oh, well, why did he do this last year? Because he felt like he had to defer.
Right, and it didn't work. It just was a bad vibe. And I still think, you know, you could argue that perhaps Quinn Snyder should have done a better job, but he was left with, look, I got 2 point guards. How do I make this work?
All right, we got plenty more to dive into. Brian Snicker stopped by the steakhouse. We're going to let you hear what Snit had to say about Strider, Drake Baldwin, and I have a prediction about Baldwin, and Ian Anderson in the trade. Stay there. You're going to hear Snit next. Braves getting ready to start the regular season. What? Thursday, they start with the Padres. Now, it is not at Truist Park. They won't have their home opener until the following week. But, Mike, we're just a couple of days away from the start of the regular season. Guys, I really like our club. Okay, I'm going to tell you this now, and I'll say it, you know, 2 months from now. I don't think we are, knock wood, we're going to endure the injuries that we did last year. But I will tell you, Snit came on the Steakhouse, and he was talking about Strider. And I just asked you guys, because I didn't know if any news came down while I was out. I said, have they given us a date on Strider?
It sounded like at least two rehab starts. I asked Grant about it yesterday, and I said most fans would say, well, just send him up, let's go. And let's throw him, he'll throw four innings, and then as opposed to wasting time in Gwinnett. But it looks like at least two, maybe three down there in Gwinnett. Braves also plays Ronald Acuna and Sean Murphy on the 10-day IL to start the season because, you know, obviously we're not going to see Murphy just yet, coming off the ribcage injury. And Acuna, they have not really been specific about that return for Ronald with the ACL.
Does that concern you?
Well, I mean, they picked up Verdugo as a backup for a backup.
Okay.
You know, but I mean, I think we're covered for the time being with decent players. Jerkson Profar looks like legit.
He does.
You know, and Money Harris is fine. And, you know, the other guy, Kelnick, Chris's boy, he'll have to deal with it. But, yeah, and then Verdugo will get some spot starts. But, you know, I think in your absence, we did play your Marcus Davenport laugh about them talking about, and then they signed Julio, I mean, Jesse Chavez.
Jesse, they brought Jesse back. Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's crazy. I look.
It just, you can't get rid of him.
You cannot. He's just always around.
He's like Kirk Cousins in reverse.
He's just always around. Yeah. It's unbelievable. But yes, so they bring Chavez back. And listen, right. we cheer for Chavez. It's just the idea that this is his, what, 10th time with the team now?
I think seven times he's come back and forth with the Bravos. Look, I mean, it's a testament. Now, I know that you've talked about believing, you know, in what we're doing. And I certainly believe in the moves, you know, in the field. It's just the pitching. Is like, for instance, you're playing San Diego. I mean, that's good squad,
they're a good
right?
team. They're a good team.
You know, and then by the time you get to the Dodgers, for instance, Thursday it's Sale, Lopez, Schwellenbach goes Saturday.
Okay.
And then wrap-up day in San Diego, Smith-Schaver. So it's go time, show time.
Yeah, he's got to show
and then
up.
You roll into L.A. with the best team money can buy, and it's Eastbound and Down, and it's Grant Holmes. Mm. So that's what you're living with, though, brother, until Strider gets up.
I do like the move, though, that you got for Ian Anderson because, listen, if you can get something for nothing, you would have just designated him.
He would have been gone. You get something from the Angels.
You get something for him. I think that this can help. We'll see. You know, and I've been saying this because Chris and I argue all the time because Chris is a big baseball guy, and he's always talking about the bullpen, and I'm like, hey, it's not going to look the same. We'll be fine.
Suarez, by the way, 27, and he can also spot start, and he's setup guy.
Yes, he can help in many different
By the way, Chris, just in my ear, he just can't stop. He goes, he's like, hey, he's got an ERA of 5.
I know.
Yeah, I know, but it is what it is in the American League, Chris. It's different over here.
Yes, we cannot concern
ourselves. Both leagues have the DH. That's a weak excuse.
we're not going to concern ourselves with that. Let's hear Snit talking about Strider first and foremost. Then we'll let you hear what he has to say about a guy that I think could actually change this team. And I know you may think I'm crazy. Here's Brian Snicker on Strider.
This is Spencer's first big league camp. As well as he did last year, I didn't even know what he looked like till he showed up in Atlanta. And, you know, so, you know, it's going to be different. It's going to be new territory for him too, navigating, you know, this season. And we'll do everything we can to try and protect those guys and within reason. I mean, we still got to go out and win ball games you know, but I think organizationally we do a really good job of taking care of these guys.
Okay. I mean, you and I have lamented at times. I lament more than you lament the state of the pitching and the young guys who just can't seem to stick. And they can't find a way to get Elder up to 98 miles an hour. He is what he is. So it's A.J. Smith-Shawver's chance to shine. Grant Holmes certainly was, look, it's a hell of a story, Carl, being a lifer in the minors and finally getting a shot. But you're a lifer in the minors for a reason. Is he going to be okay?
Well, look, his stuff is there. It's Mike, it's in between the years, like with all these guys. Can he be consistent and can he do what they're asking him to do every fifth day? You know, that becomes the question mark. I think that the way that you have to look at this is, again, innings.
Right.
Can he eat innings? Can we find guys to eat innings for us without taxing the bullpen and without having to score 9 runs every game? That's what you're hoping for from the back half of this bullpen or the back half of this rotation. But there is a guy, and we talk about scoring runs, and I think, Mike, the door's been open for Drake Baldwin. And here's what I'm getting to with Sean Murphy, who Mike just told you that, you know, he's not going to start the season. We knew that.
Can we trade him for Darno if he gets off to a slow start?
Well, Baldwin guys hit 300 last year, okay? Sean Murphy hit 181. And my point is, if Baldwin comes up here and plays well, all of a sudden, Mike, I think his playing time is going to get expanded. And if you're telling me we're getting that kind of production from our catcher behind the plate,
right,
where he's knocking in runs, his OPS and his slugging percentage are way higher than 294, which is what Sean Murphy hit last year, I think there's a chance that you could say, okay, he becomes your everyday guy. He is our top prospect. There's no reason why this shouldn't happen anyway. It's just, it's been moved up.
And if he rakes, the hell with Sean Murphy. You know how I feel about Sean Murphy. He's been a tremendous disappointment. The one year the whole team hit, he's still, he's 250, but he's a 233 guy. That's his baseball card. And last year he was dreadful in that miserable bottom of the lineup, which I always rant about. Drake Baldwin, our buddy Mark Bowman from MLB Network, MLB.com. He thinks that, yeah, to your point, he said Drake looks ready. He can, and look, you know, if Contreras was never that great behind the dish, but look, what would you rather have? This could be our guy, and hopefully he improves defensively.
It doesn't take long to tell. I mean, listen, I said this about Ronald Acuna when I saw him come up, and I was like, this guy's going to be a stud, and he has been. And I think when we get a chance to see Drake Baldwin, I think you're going to feel the same way. Listen to what Snit said about Baldwin today on the Steakhouse.
You know, that as a left-handed hitting catcher, you know, Mac's got to come to mind. I mean, you know, he's kind of advanced where he's at, just like Brian was. And you know, this kid's been very impressive this spring. You know, we're going to start this thing up Thursday and see where it goes. But, man, he's had a nice camp, and he's done a great job with our pitchers. They like throwing to him. The throwing has been really good. I think Eddie's done a great job with him. And, you know, it's just he's a very impressive young man.
He is, and that tells you where Snit is. How many years has Snit been around baseball? 60?
Right.
I mean, he's seen some dudes. So when he's telling you that about Baldwin, I think we can feel pretty good about it.
And it's funny because, you know, we always joke around with Braves fans sometimes. They get so locked in, like, you know, the prospects. You can't trade them. You can't. By the way, Vaughn Grissom got sent down to the minors by the Red Sox last week while you were in Vegas. So remember everybody losing their minds about that? And we think we know how Chris Sale worked out. But this is a guy that everybody we've talked to, and Grant's seen him and interviewed him. He looks ready to go. And this is what we need because, you know, yes, I don't like Sean Murphy's game. There's nothing about it I like. No one steals enough to make his defense make up for his bad hitting.
Well,
in my mind,
it's still an offensive game. And look, you do need a guy that does a great job with the pitches behind the plate. But I think Baldwin has the potential to take over as a number one catcher. And that's something going into the season we did not expect.
Right.
So he's had a great spring. He's impressed the coaches and the manager, and now he's going to start up here, and here's Sean Murphy waiting for this injury to heal. And, Mike, when he gets back and he's not raking and Baldwin's playing well, guess what? Braves fans are going to be like, Baldwin, we want Baldwin. And he becomes a guy that you insert into the lineup that we didn't expect to hit this way.
Right.
He helps us.
Look, it's funny how a daisy chains into misery for guys who are struggling. He has the terrible year last year. Then he has the rib injury down in spring training, so we have no idea. Now he's going to be behind the eight ball to get started.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the entire Braves Nation, I think I speak for most of Brave Nation, they want to see Drake Baldwin behind the dish. And as you said, it's go time.
Let's hear what Snit had to say about Ian Anderson and the trade. This is pretty interesting because he said it happened during the game.
That had literally happened in the middle of the game that he was pitching. I sent him inside and we took him out of the game. So, you know what? I'm happy for Ian. You know what? It didn't look like he was going to make our club. I love that kid and what he meant to our organization and the person that he is. And he didn't have a great spring. I mean, we probably weren't going to be able to carry him. So I think this was a heck of a lot better than maybe having to set him down and tell him you're going to designate him.
See, there you go. I mean, Snicker just being as honest as he can be. Mm. We all know what Ian Anderson did as a young player when he was thrust into a pennant race and how he contributed for the World Series team. And then, unfortunately, just the injuries got him. And he was trying, but the pressure got to him, I think, too, this year, too, knowing that it was basically make or break.
Well, sometimes you just say he wasn't good enough. It's okay. Like, we're so afraid in our country to say kids lose, there's winners and losers. He wasn't good enough. This particular spring, he wasn't. And so the Braves did him a favor, Mike. I think by giving him an opportunity to go somewhere where he actually can pitch, instead of just, hey, we're going to leave you out there on the float, good luck, they appreciated what he did, and right. I think the front office treated him right in this situation to say, you're not going to be here, but we're going to give you an opportunity to go somewhere else.
Right. Again, Chris is basically saying the Suarez guy we got is like basically you traded nothing for nothing, but, you know, we'll see. But I'm with you. They do, and I think they have a soft spot for the guy, but it's not – again – it's you getting something. If you just put him and he gets DFA'd, nothing.
Nothing.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because I think we all remember last year, I think you kind of knew a little bit when he never got called up at the end of the year. And we were like, come on, let's go. What's going on here?
404-726-0929. We're going to visit with Grant tomorrow, kind of do our last preview as the season starts on Thursday. And Mike's right. Padres are a good team. We'll hopefully get a chance to catch up with our boy Tony Gwynn Jr., who calls their games. And you know, that was a team, again, last year people were picking them to go to the World Series. They're stacked offensively. They've spent a lot of money, Mike, I mean, to be in the hunt. And I think this is a great way to start the season and kind of get a – it's a good litmus test to start the season.
You're going
to
put Jerkson Profar, how are you going to bat him? How are you going to bat Money? Money Harris says he can handle it mentally to be the number one guy, the leadoff guy. How are you going to play it until Acuna gets here?
Well, that's the thing. I think you have some options, and it depends on who you're facing that particular day. But I like him in the leadoff spot. I think you could also – we talked about Money Harris as well.
Stealing more bases, too. I think we all want to see him. Remember, we asked about that a few months ago.
Yeah. Look, he's had a really good spring, by the way. I mean, I don't know if we've talked enough about Money, but, you know, again, I don't want to get overly excited. For a guy like Drake Baldwin who's trying to make the team, Mike, you have to flash.
Right.
I've seen that in covering baseball. Guys who already are established, not so much, and they're working on things that are going to help them during the season. But Money's had a really good spring as well. The reason why people are impressed with Baldwin is because it was like, okay, kid, show us what you got. And he showed up.
By the way, great stat, great factoid from our boy Grant McCauley. Of course, 2-1 last year in 7 games was Grant Holmes. Grant Holmes originally drafted by the Dodgers in the first round of the 2014 draft, Carl. And he was 22nd overall. That's a big draft pick.
That is.
So he finally gets a start in Dodger Stadium. As we mentioned, he'll start the Dodgers opener against the Bravos. Open a 3-game series. He gets the opener. And again, so that would be 11 years after being drafted.
Isn't that crazy?
The Dodgers.
Yeah, it's a dream, probably a dream come true. One more thing we want you to hear in that snit. Again, full interview online at odyssey.com. Talking about the guys and the makeup of this team. And, you know, look, I trust Snit's going to do the things that he needs to do. Mike, you said he should have probably won manager of the year last year with the way he managed this club with the injuries. Let's hope that doesn't play out this year and he doesn't have to maneuver like that. But he really likes his club.
Guys like to play baseball. I said, what a novel idea that they're having fun playing baseball. You know, I mean, they like to work. They enjoy the competing. I've never seen, you know, and it's been like that for a while here where these guys just, they enjoy the competition and you know, they're fun to be around. They make it fun for myself and the coaches and just how hard they are and how dedicated they are to what they're doing.
Yeah. And that's good to know. I mean, he's talking about the makeup of this team and, you know, again, you still got to go out and win games and perform, but he's saying the group as a whole feels pretty good, Mike, and they're a hardworking group. That's what you need. I'm going to say this. Look, I know everybody's on the Dodgers, and rightfully so. They're stacked. But I don't think we're that far off. I don't think we're like the 7th best team in the East, or not the East, but the National League, Mike. I think we could easily be the 2nd or 3rd best team, depending on how things shake out.
Mets have had a lot of injuries. Their pitching staff, a lot of things to deal with. Right.
And then you get to the playoffs. Let's see what happens. Now, I know we're a long way away, but all you're going to hear, trust me, the first few months of this season is Dodgers. Braves fans, we got to deal with it.
Hey, and the Dodgers have always had the most money and the best team, and they've only, now they did finally get the 2nd one under Dave Roberts, but still, you know, it's just tough to see that such a competitive, you know, or a uncompetitive advantage, as it were, for the Dodgers. And then, you know, you see how much the Yankees and Mets are spending, and I will still disagree with you respectfully that we don't have enough starting pitching.
Because, we may not.
I mean, it's still a big if. Everything we just said about Grant Holmes is true. It's a great story. And you're hoping that A.J. Smith-Shawver is ready to go. But when you're so good 1-8, man, I wish we just bank it on guys along with Sale and Ronaldo Lopez and Strider.
The formula, Mike, is going to be what it was a few years ago. Score runs consistently, put pressure on their opposing pitching staff, and then let's see how good this bullpen is, right? But in the games where Sale, Schwelly, and Strider are pitching, you're expecting to get great quality starts out of those guys. If you get quality starts out of the last two guys, it's bonus, but they still need to eat innings. I'm just giving you the formula. That's what has to happen for you to get on board with the winning and the way that this is going to play out.
But is this a bullpen that can handle when those other guys can't get you through 6?
Well, we're going to find out.
Right.
That's the key. Hey, man, coming up 6 o'clock hour straight ahead, we got a lot more to talk about, including the Sweet 16 begins Thursday, and we get the South Regional right here in our backyard. We'll give you a number that you'll be fascinated with when it comes to the NCAA tournament, because everybody was saying, oh, who's paying attention? Apparently everybody.